You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Striving for longevity, a subi mechanic, how we're building this long legacy. I intend to be nothing less than legendary. Loyalty and royalties in my blood, it runs heavily. From the Point Chevrolet Beach to these inner city streets, the belly of the beast, great land, pots of beef. 12 people in a two-room property, but that's just how it is when you live in poverty. The home of French sticks with cream in it, throwing mints and cheese in it. Family vans like a family man, but I got my G's in it. Loose sippy with the crew, really throwing leaves in it. Heavy-handed with the table, so this like you season it. This is for my olds living on her, the Williams on Verse, and every other family I know. My boys, the Yacoys and the Commers on Primer Road. St. Joe's to Ivanhoe and my birds from outer zones, yeah.
Feels like a fitting track to start us off here. That's Welcome to Central Auckland from the Panthers soundtrack, obviously led there by Diggy Dupe, who features in the first episode of Still Here, which is a brilliant documentary series about Pacifica whānau who are still living in Central Auckland. And we've got, I guess, the brains behind that series here. Kia ora, Latia. How are you?
Good morning. Kia ora. I'm good. How are you?
Good. Congratulations on this documentary series. It's amazing. It's really beautiful. And it's been received really awesomely, I think. I mean, most importantly, by the communities you've been representing. I've seen lots of chat online, I've seen lots of people really excited about it. Tell us about the Still Here project. What is it all about?
Yeah, I mean, there's kind of a lot to it, but really it's a celebration of, I think, the inner city Pacifica community, which is very, very small now, but it's a very, like, mighty community. Mm. They're very hearty, very loyal, and it's really about celebrating, I think, a lot of their resilience to gentrification.
Yep.
That's been kind of rampantly going on for the past, I guess, two, three decades. But also just like their joy and like just celebrating their kind of resilience and kind of quiet resistance to all of that. Yeah.
Totally. Because I think there's a statistic that you guys talk about in the series where it's something like 45% of the Pacifica community of Tamaki in the 70s was in Central Auckland, was in like these sort of suburbs surrounding the CBD. And now it's something like 2% in 2018, I think. Is that right?
Yeah, it's like basically half of our population was in those inner suburbs, and then there were more in the kind of broader Central Auckland region. But now I think it's the Waitemata local board. I get confused with Auckland Council board areas.
Super city.
Yeah, it's like 1.6 or 1.7%
there. Far out.
Yeah.
That's a massive change. And, you know, that is a huge part of I guess the way that the city has moved and shaped itself in the last several decades now. This is a really significant story that while people know about it, we don't really hear about it in media in the same way. What was it that made you want to tell these stories?
Yeah, well, I grew up in Ponsonby and Grey Lynn, and I was always, I went to Ponsonby Primary and I was one of three Pacifica. There's only three Pacifica and Māori students there.
Far out.
And I remember our principal saying that in the 80s that was 90% Pacifica. So this was 1995, 1996. And so massive contrast. And I think I was always close with, other Pacific kids in the area, but you always noticed the massive wealth difference between, you and all these other families. And then just, I always had such a love for the area, and then in law school I did an essay on gentrification and racism and housing, looking at the inner city. And after that I was like, damn, I feel like this needs to not be in some uni assignment on Turnitin.
Yeah, yeah.
It actually should be something that goes on, people should know about in the mainstream. Yeah.
And I think one of the things that I've seen so much joy come through is that, as you were saying, there's such a staunchness to folks who are still around and a pride of being from central Auckland that I think is reflected through this as a series, because people are able to see it in a way that maybe you only see when you're walking down the street and you clock your mate, or that kind of thing. So you're bringing it into a new space and a new platform, which is really special. Tell us a little bit about how you approached finding people for this, because I wonder how did you actually put the call out?
Yeah, so there were ones that we knew, Diggy. I think when we kind of proposed the series, we're always we'd love to have Diggy, because he goes so hard for Central and within his music, and I thought he'd be awesome to profile. So we just reached out to him, but we did a call out on social media, just on Instagram, and we got over 100 kind of responses in comments in 24 hours from
Far
people
out.
And we just knew, Therese and I, who's a producer, knew instinctively this story is meant to be told.
Totally.
And the community backs it, which is the most important thing. And then it just was a case of going and meeting different families and seeing what, I mean, all of them are worthy of telling, so it's very hard to narrow it down to four, but
yeah,
it was just kind of doing a call out on social media and seeing what hits.
So the first story is sort of around Diggy and his crew, and that is quite a lovely, I think, standard bearer for this series. Tell us a wee bit about some of the other whānau that you've spoken with, because I think probably our listeners know Diggy Dupe well, but they might not know some of these other folks because they're just families hanging out,
Yeah. So the other episodes we've got, the Faletuese family, which is the Make Ponsonby Brown Again episode, and that's following a beautiful mother and daughter, Vasa, who is a larger than life, amazing personality. And they really just kind of take us through the history of the area, and particularly the role of the church. I think a lot of people go around Ponsonby and Grey Lynn and they're like, why are there so many island churches? I don't get it. And I think this is a really good entry into understanding the role of the church being a real anchor for the community, particularly when many of the first wave of immigrants came over from the islands. And then we have the Falau family, the kind of one of the final or last Tongan families in Herne Bay. And that's a beautiful episode, which is an ode to their grandmother's legacy. And sadly, she passed this year, but this episode is about honouring her and her love for them, and also not just their immediate family, but she, they talk about the hundreds of people that their doors were open to. And then we have Tyler and the Tele family, and that's a really interesting episode because it's about tatau, which is Samoan traditional tattooing, and the weaving of intergenerational stories with two Samoan families, and particularly Samoan women, and how they keep that tradition alive, but how it's all interlinked with that Grey Lynn and Central Auckland identity as well.
Totally. I mean, they're all stunning episodes in their
Thank
own right.
You.
They're also visually very, very beautiful. Tell us a wee bit about the process of actually filming these, because it's obviously been a weird time to be trying to make anything which involves going face to face with people. How did you actually put this together?
I mean, we had such an amazing crew at 4 and 5 Films with Tim Flower, DOP, and then Warren Rodericks, Daryl Wong, Jack Barry, as well. on various episodes, but we had a bunch of references, particularly Raymael Ross's Hale County this morning, this evening, and we wanted to really elevate like the beauty of this community. It was quite a process to talk through like the visual, what we wanted to do visually, and not just sort of try and make it like a kind of a normal sort of 60 minutes type episode, you know what I mean? Like we wanted it to be really showcasing and highlighting. And in some way, I think we're romanticising the beauty of this community, but also not, I think John Campbell gave me this advice at the way at the beginning, he was like, don't gentrify your own footage. Like everything you see, like all the homes, that's exactly how they are. Like there was no set design, we didn't move anything. Like all the kind of lays and family photos, like that's just how... the homes are. And that was so beautiful just to go on and be like, okay, we don't have to do anything.
This is your space and we're just here to be here. It's an incredible series and a really awesome achievement. If people want to go watch it, where do they go, Latia?
They go on to Re. So I think all the episodes are now on the Re News channel, like their website, YouTube, and then Instagram. They're getting uploaded during the week on there, and then it should be on TVNZ Plus I think this week sometime. I can't remember the date, but it is on TVNZ Plus or on demand. I can't remember what it's called now.
Awesome. Well, we'll put some links in the podcast folks can find it after the show as well.
Awesome.
Latia, thank you so much for coming in and chatting about Still Here. It's a beautiful series and a really awesome like bunch of stories to be elevating. We're going to have another Diggy song because we always love any excuse to do that. Thank you so much for coming in this morning.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me.
It's crazy lately, I've been feeling like $1 million. Still, I gotta get up and get it. So expensive, all of these minor problems. Phone bill is overdue. My phone getting on it too. I'm persuaded to go. Granted, always gotta stay updated. I'm taking in these latest trends. Hey, I break the bend and then I make amends. And do it straight again. I'm living like hands in mouth. I still live in my family house. I still sleep on my granny couch. But I ain't got no hand-me-downs. Man, who cares if I can't afford it? I bought it cause I can wear it. Bootlegged just like guitar. And I swore it was Michael Jordan. Ralph Lauren Gomez, I swear it's authentic. I never regret it, I never get credit for the flexing that I do. She ain't even seen my shoes, she know that I think I'm cool. She think I'm a fucking fool. Monkey see, monkey do, monkey in a monkey suit. Stepping brands on my body cause I'm always on that boat. Hype shit.
You hype shit, yeah, you hype shit, yeah. 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 You hype shit. You hype shit, yeah. 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 You hype shit, yeah.
It's crazy lately, I've been feeling like a shit squalor. No more pile of too many noodles, cause I'm frugal and man, I owe my mama due to these multiple loans. Banks always calling my phone, knocking my door, my home, acting like I'm always gone. Great clouds and overcast, even my PayPal's and overdraft. I'm getting weighed down over load of carts. Until I'm face down, I pay him no regard. Another item in the cart, once again I'm caught. And post some purchases cause I heard of it in a song. Gucci strap, Gucci rag, Gucci bag, Gucci ring, Gucci bands, Gucci every fucking thing. I don't ever fucking change, broke boy with an expensive taste. I never hesitate to cop the freshest leather jays in every colorway. Monkey see, monkey do, monkey in the monkey suit. Stepping brands on my body cause I'm always on that ball. Hype shit.
You hype shit, yeah, you hype shit. You hype shit, yeah. 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 You hype shit, Trips.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.